And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Giannis Janaeus. This is another episode of the FFC Weekly Roundup. This episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Wolves. However, we're going to start by looking back at the 2-2 draw for Fulham against Blackburn at Craven Cottage Tuesday night. Boy, do we have much to discuss. But before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Janaeus, how you doing?
Get out of my bedroom, Delia. I'm not into canary owners. I told you before. Put your clothes back on. Bloody hell. I am great. It's a lovely Friday afternoon. The weather is nice here. I think we've got rid of the snow finally. And what was an interesting game against Blackburn to look through and then get ready for the Wolves to come to the Cottage tomorrow. Should be fun.
It should be an interesting show. We have a lot to get through, my friend. I definitely look forward to doing this with you. So let's start from the beginning. Let's just start with your overall view of that 2-2 draw Tuesday night.
Well, if before last Saturday's game against Newcastle, you'd asked fans if they take 4 points from the two games, Newcastle and Blackburn, I think most would have said yes. And I think we got a little bit greedy, or a number of fans got greedy, you know, after our lovely win up at St. James's Park last week. I think in the end of the day, you know, we would have been disappointed with the manner in which we conceded the late goal. We have 3 points really on the plate. But I think that draw was probably the fair result. Well, Blackburn are obviously an improved side, and Mowbray's got them playing for him. And unlike other teams in the division who tend to, you know, park the bus, Blackburn came and attacked us. And the substitution certainly made a difference in the second half. And Zhao equalising in the end was probably just rewards for their persistence and their attitude and their approach to the game. And although it's a loss of 2 points, we've got the Wolves coming in tomorrow, and I'm hopeful we can put them on for 3 points. And depending on tonight's result between Wednesday and Reading, put us into the top six by this time tomorrow night.
Yeah, listen, looking back at it, my friend, it was a very disappointing way that match ended. There's no question about that. You know, it's funny because I look at the three matches. I want to include the Leeds match. And if you told me that we'd have 5 points instead of six that I was hoping for, listen, I was not thinking we would get anything from the Newcastle United match. So for me, 5 points out of potential six is the way I was looking at it, Giannis. It's really not that bad.
No, it's not. No, I agree. It's not. And, you know, it's not like we didn't play well against Leeds. We did. We played very well against Newcastle. We played well in spurts on Tuesday, but Blackburn Rovers was, belie their position at the moment, and they are playing well, and they played well on Tuesday night, and they're fighting for their lives at the bottom, and what is now becoming, you know, obviously a very interesting tussle at the top in terms of who's going to win the division, who's going to nip into the playoff places. At the bottom, it's looking really, really fruity right now, because you've got Rotherham are done. But you got Wigan are slightly adrift, and then you got the Bristol. You got really Bristol City, Blackburn, Forest, Burton, Wolves, and Birmingham, and maybe even Ipswich. So that's up to 16th. So there's a lot to play for here. And Blackburn played like a team that was whose lives depended on it, and it was an important point because it took them out of the bottom three, and it's put City back in there now.
Yes, it has, my friend. Well, listen, I have some good news. We actually have a brand new co-host who's joining us right now.
Marty!
And that is Marty Ward. Marty would have been in the open, but we're having trouble getting Marty on the show. But it looks like Marty is now with us. Marty, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Good afternoon, guys. Thank you for inviting me on.
Marty's on.
Marty, hi, Giannis.
Oh, my
God. Marty, it's so great that you could join us. Like I mentioned, we were having trouble getting you into the show. So unfortunately, I did not have you in the open, but you are with us now. That's the most important thing. We're just sharing our opening thoughts on the match Tuesday night. You were there, so share your view.
Well, as you can see, I did a little bit of a last-minute thing just to pitch in. There was no pun intended in that. what's my view on it? Last Tuesday, we played a great game against Leeds and got a 94th minute equalizer, and it was mass hysteria. It was almost like the Clint Dempsey-esque of goal against Juventus. And then obviously Tuesday night was the exact opposite. You know, Blackburn, who, if you think about it, this time last season Fulham were in the same predicament, fighting for their lives, and Blackburn got a very well-earned point.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, listen, I'm going to go right back to you because I want to take you back an hour before the match, and I want to get your thoughts on the starting 11 before we really break down this match. What were your thoughts when you looked at it?
Yeah, I mean, stick with what works, basically, I think is the way that usually the saying goes. I think, you know, a lot of people, myself included, and it's not the fact that he scored, was hoping maybe to see maybe Ciriak start at, you know, for the first 90 minutes to see, you know, maybe a different sort of scenario up front. But yeah, I mean, it did seem to me, as the game went on, which we'll probably talk about later, it was just keeping hold of the ball was the issue basically that night.
Oh, very good there, my friend. All right. Giannis, over to you. Listen, there was a change. We did have Ryan Fredericks, I believe, was a change from Odoi. But I was more focused on the fact that he decided to play Sessegnon and Malone again on the left. So what were your thoughts? Did you think that was the right approach? You know, not starting Martin. Martin comes on the second half. I'm curious your thoughts on it. Do you agree with Marty? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, except for, like I said, you did make the change for Fredericks. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, they had a difficult game up at Newcastle on Saturday, and I thought, you know, I thought Fredericks was coming for Odoi. I thought Martin would probably come in, and then Aluko would flip wide, and Sessegnon wouldn't. I think I predicted Sessegnon wouldn't start.
Right, I remember.
I think. I mean, it looked like a different formation from an away game, and sometimes you know you have away games, and you've got a slightly different approach. There'd be a lot of second guessing on them. The lineup was fine. And the fact is, we held them. We're in the lead until, you know, close to the, you know, the last kick of the game. One of the interesting things for me that came out of the game, just reflecting on it, was the substitutions or the impact of the substitutions. Because if you look at the goal, if you look at the first goal that we conceded, it was Martin that gave the ball away in the middle. And there've been a few fans have been very critical about Martin's performance when he came off the bench on Tuesday night, that he didn't exactly look interested. And I think that's interesting. And I'm wondering if that's going to play a part in how the lineup's going to look tomorrow. Because when Zhao and Mahoney came on for Blackburn, they made a big difference. We knew Zhao had scored a couple against Norwich. Mahoney was very, very tricky and clever. And, you know, they seemed to step it up a gear. Whereas Martin coming on seemed to... You know, I mean, the Syria goal was a superb goal, but, you know, it slowed the play down a little bit, and there were question marks, as I said, about his commitment. So the lineup was fine. I mean, it should have been good enough to beat, if it was good enough to beat Newcastle United, it's good enough to beat Blackburn. But Blackburn gave us a different look, and they asked us different questions. And to be fair, the questions that they asked us, we didn't always have the answer for.
Oh, very good point there, my friend. All right. All right, Marty, let's now get into this match, and I'll go right to you. Let's go to the first half. I like to look at turning points, things that change the match. Obviously, we have the goal in the 45th minute. Wonderful cross from Stefan Johansson sets up Sone Aluko for a very nice goal. But before that, I just want to get your impression of the overall first half leading up to the goal and then share your thoughts on the goal.
Well, I think it was obvious after watching it, you know, live, and then obviously watching it on the replay, that the Blackburn were pushing very tight and compact in midfield. So they weren't really giving our midfield
no space,
much time to do anything. Yeah. I mean, if you look, Tom Kearney, a lot of people were saying that he had one of his worst games. I wouldn't say it was his worst. It was just that most of his passes weren't hitting the mark. It was kind of like the final ball scenario. I mean, I think, you know, when the pass did kind of make it, you know, Aluko had a chance for the first 10 minutes, and it could have made it sort of 1-0, but Aluko did what Aluko usually does. But the goal was a very well taken goal. It was sort of like tossed right into the cross of the box, and Aluko kind of smashed it in. But as I said, they were playing it really tight in midfield, and that was where the battle was sort of won or lost. I mean, Johansson was kind of quiet most of the game as well, did sort of nice touches. But because they were staying so tight and compact in midfield, it was very clustered there.
And that was noticeable, Marty. That's one of the things that I noticed, especially in the first half. whenever Tom Kearney would get the ball, two or three guys around him, Aluko, like you mentioned, Johansson, very quiet. And I just think that they were very organized, extremely organized in the first half and really didn't give us much space. I shouldn't say no space, just didn't give us that much space that we had, say, against Newcastle United. Their approach was very different. And it's more of a reflection of Mowbray, who really had his team ready to go. Nothing against Rafa Benitez, but they wanted to play football, whereas I think in the first half, they just wanted, I'm talking about Blackburn, just wanted to not let us play, and they did a very good job at that. Giannis, over to you. I want to get your view of the first half.
Yeah, I mean, the Blackburn did what a lot of teams have tried to do to us this year, and they marked us very tight, and they restricted the space. And we know that they've got some mobility there. But I think they figured, well, you know, well, let's hold them till half-time. And then let's see if Fulham are going to change the tactics. It sort of went awry when Aluko scored that goal just before half-time, and it was a fantastic goal. It really was. But credit to Blackburn, because they didn't come out and mope. They came out firing in the second half, and Mowbray obviously had a few words for them. And they picked on really what is an Achilles heel for us, and that's really the central two at the back. And you know, I always say that, you know, if you set up shop and park the bus in games, you're eventually going to get burnt. It can only go for so long.
Right.
I think Mowbray's figured, you know what, there are some holes there we can exploit. That we know that Fulham are a good side, but we know we can break them down. And you know what, they were very unlucky not to get a penalty early in the second half, which most refs might have given.
That's true.
The penalty on Enes. To me, was a penalty, and Conway's put it away well. And even at 1-1, they could have shut up shot, but they didn't. I mean, first it was a game of two halves in many ways, but Blackburn changed their tactics slightly in the second half. They opened up a little bit more and they started attacking it. So that's what made it, I thought, a very entertaining second half.
I agree with you, Giannis. You know, they definitely changed it a lot. Like I was talking to you before we started recording. I heard Savice's interview with Sarah, and he talked about that the second half approach from Blackburn was different. They were pressing higher up, and they had a different look at how they were going to handle this. They were basically becoming more offensive and limiting us even more, but also giving themselves opportunities. All right, Marty, over to you. Let's now go to the second half, and Giannis has already been talking about some of the things I wanted to ask you about. I call them turning points, things that potentially change a match. And I think the substitutions here definitely were turning points. I want your view on it. Let's start in the 60th minute when you have Chris Martin coming on for Malone, and then you basically reshuffle the deck here. You move everyone around. Want to get your thoughts. If you thought that worked or did not work, taking off Malone and moving Sessegnon back to left back, and then obviously you have Martin as your target man. But Giannis has already brought up Zhao. Zhao, I thought, was a handful. So I want your thoughts on Zhao and also Mahoney, because I think these are both impact subs for Blackburn that potentially changed the match for them. So let's just talk about these subs in the match.
Yeah, for me, I feel the two substitutions were absolute game changers. I mean, and both of those, very, very decent. I really liked Zhao. I thought he was really, really good. He's the Sheffield Wednesday loan, I believe.
Yes.
Which is just ironic for that he scored, obviously, the equalising goal. They were really, really good substitutions for them. But when you look at what we did, it kind of really kind of distilted the team a little. I mean, maybe it's the fact that Martin did, as Giannis clearly pointed out, you know, he loses the ball, which leads, obviously, to the first goal.
Right.
But I felt like Malone was doing a really, really good job. And when they started to change it and put Sessegnon back into his position, they started to pick on Sessegnon, and he seemed to struggle in the second half.
Okay. So, again, you see this as a situation where the substitutions for both teams really affected the match.
Correct. While ours is costly, not as a kind of a positive manner when it was Martin for Malone, theirs were really good positive kind of, you know, I think that's what it was down to in the end. The two substitutions that they did compared to ours,
right,
this seemed to be the difference.
Well, we did have the impact sub of Syriac, obviously. We have that.
Yeah.
A little later on, you have him coming on in the 81st minute for Cabana. We'll talk about his goal in just a few minutes. But Marty, I want to go back to you. Giannis has already brought up the two situations. There was a situation before the penalty that looked like it was a penalty, a foul by, I thought it was a foul by Fredericks. I thought that could have been called. So feel free to comment on that. Then, of course, the penalty. Do you agree with Giannis that this was a penalty on Ennis that they obviously took by Conway and they scored the goal?
I think, to be fair, when the first challenge happened by Fredericks, for what was basically, I was, where we were standing, it was obviously, and even in the replays, you thought, wow, how was that not given? So I think by the time the second, obviously, foul in the area with the breakaway, I think it was, the referee had to give it, because I right. think even they were both definite clear-cut penalties. I mean, we're lucky by this point, we weren't staring at a 2-1 goals going down, to be fair. And it's because sure. they were putting pressure on us. And as I said to you before, it seemed like in the second half, we really had trouble keeping possession. I mean, our biggest takeaway for all games was always possession. And maybe when you go through the stats in the stat attack later, I'm really intrigued to see how our stats hold up in possession in the second half. Because it just seemed like every time we had the ball, we lost it. So why, you know, Djukanovic turned around to say that we needed someone like a Scott Parker to come out and keep control of the ball was a massive factor, I think.
It's something that we're definitely going to talk about because he talked about that again today, about not having Scott Parker for those last 15 minutes. So I find that interesting because they don't have that player that can be a leader back there to close out a match. It's very interesting. All right, Giannis, I want to go to you. I want to get your thoughts about the goal by Cyriak. Cyriak has started to show a little bit more in this match. He showed his skill. I want to get your thoughts about not only the goal, but the setup by Ryan Fredericks. This was a nice cross in the box, and Cyriak just took this right in the back of the net.
Game changer. Didn't think. Beautiful cross by Fredericks. Beautiful cross. And he's under pressure from the centre back, and he's hit it first time, which is the way he should have done. It was a lovely, lovely goal, and he has seemed to have settled in, which is great. You're occasionally going to get it right, and you're going to get it wrong. You'll bring on a sub like Cyriak, who's going to be a game changer, and then you'll bring on a sub like Martin, who turns with the greatest of respect like a plum duff. And now I'm wondering. I'd be stunned if he gets a minute of playing time tomorrow, Martin, because I'm not sold on his commitment right now, and anyway, I think the way that we've been playing has eliminated the need for to even have a player up top to hold the ball up. Our speed is killing teams, and what happened, if you look at the goal that Martin, when Martin gave the ball away that led up to the penalty,
right,
he actually had two centre back options behind him, and he was faffing about with the ball. It was, I don't know what he was going left and right and left and right, and he was so close to the byline. Oh, come on. Look for a square pass or a ball back, 10 yards, the options are there. And he thought he'd get cute. And then what you've done is now you've sold us down the river. And so, you know, Cyriak has probably done enough to warrant a starting position. Is he going to start tomorrow against Wolves? I wouldn't be surprised if he did. But I'd be stunned if Martin gets a minute of playing time. Because you got a job to do, but I just didn't like his body language, Russ. I didn't like it the other night. He just didn't look up to it. He had a bit of a tantrum. I think it was after a corner, or was it a free kick, and he threw the ball away. And his head's not. To me, his head's not quite in the game at the moment. And tomorrow's a massive 6-pointer. Right now, Reading are still leading Sheffield Wednesday. So if it holds, you know, we go up on Sheffield Wednesday. The other thing I want to remind fans out is look, before last Saturday's game against Newcastle United, most of us will admitted that in the end of the day, this is going to come down to the last game of the season, our trip up to Hillsborough. It's going to come down to that. Whether we're 2 points ahead or 2 points behind, it's going to come. Yeah, one bump here, one bump there. You know, Wednesday aren't playing well at the moment. You know, somebody was going to slip. Let's go out and play tomorrow and see if we can take 3 points and play like we normally do. And it's still going to come down to that last game. I'm convinced of it. And sometimes you're going to come up against teams that give you a hard time. Blackburn certainly did Tuesday night.
They did, Giannis. You actually just brought up an interesting point that I want to ask you, Marty. He was just talking about Chris Martin and Cyriac, and I want to get your thoughts on Cyriac. You and I talked the other day that you were impressed by Cyriac, so definitely want your thoughts on how he played in this match. But also, Giannis was bringing up the point that maybe, we don't need that focal point the way that we did earlier in the season. Maybe we can play with our pace and our speed more. Maybe we have found another way to play these games. I'm curious your thoughts on that. And what did Martin offer? What didn't he offer when he was on?
To be honest with you, I think Giannis is spot on. Chris Martin looked like, if anything, he was in mourning for Steve McLaren, if anything. I mean, he looked pretty much like somebody who, look, we all know about all the dirty laundry that's been washed about this whole scenario. And he's basically not helping, moping about, throwing frustration. Basically, what we have brought him in to do is score goals. And this Cyriac lad, who we haven't really seen much of, and we all wanted to be honest with you, for what I've seen of him, I'll tell you now, this guy can jump high, and I mean really high. I mean, I can't remember the last time I got excited for a corner, and I was really hoping for one. But Fredericks gets in a great cross, and what a great first touch goal by
Oh, it's
Cyriac. I mean,
great.
that was a really absolutely stunning goal. And to be honest with you, I thought he was really, really good. Unfortunately, as the game went on, obviously he got less and less service because obviously I think we were panicking and we're not keeping hold of the ball. But for me, he kind of reminds me a bit of and for Luis Saha, he kind of has that kind of sort of flair, kind of bigness about him. I quite like to see him to get a full 90 minutes. I mean, obviously, we try to look at the positive after having the result where we had a bit of a gut check. But leading back to what Giannis was saying about it going to the last game of the season, I totally agree. This is exactly what Fulham do. I mean, Fulham like to be one of the movie of the week where we leave it to the last minute. If I remember rightly, the season that we got promoted under John Tigana, all we had to do was get a draw against, amazingly enough, Sheffield Wednesday. And I believe Sean Davis scored it sort of near the end of the game against Sheffield Wednesday. So I'll take that any day of the week if we have to play Sheffield Wednesday to obviously get through.
Very interesting there, my friend. All right, let's finish off talking about this match before we get to the stats, and let's talk about the very end. We have to go there. I actually watched this live because our co-host Emilio Danello actually was posting it live from Craven Cottage, so I got to see it, Giannis, before Gentleman Jim basically said it on the broadcast because I think there was a slight delay. So I actually saw it before it hit the Fulham website that they had scored. I saw it live. So thank you, Emilio, for sharing the last few minutes of the match. I wish it was a happier ending. But I want to get your thoughts about this whole situation, the end of the match, the way they handled it. Was this about not having Scott Parker? Was it really just about that, not having the experience, Marty? I want to get your thoughts how this all went down in the end.
I mean, let's put it this way. I think as the fans were nervous, and I think the players were nervous. I mean, I think this is when you do need someone like a Scott Parker, one of the old heads that can kind of calm it down. Let's just play the ball. I mean, I would have even gone as far as putting the ball as far as possible, get Chris Martin, Mr. Morning of over Steve McLaren, into the far corner flag and just
Exactly.
holding it over there. Just any old tactic to just do anything to do with it. But unfortunately, we just seem to get the ball and lose it straight away. So they were, I mean, they could
It
have
came right
scored.
back, Marty. It kept coming right back.
Exactly. I mean, I think we literally had a very close shave like a minute before that goal went in, where the ball went right across the goal.
It did.
And if anyone got their foot onto it, it would have been a goal. And it could have been the 93rd minute. But of course, the exact same thing almost happens again on the 94th. And obviously, it's a gut check for everyone, unfortunately.
It definitely was. And listen, Zhao beat Tim Ream to the ball and put it in the back of the net, and then we end 2-2. An unfortunate way to end this match. It's very unfortunate. But listen, we got the rub of the green the Tuesday prior in the Leeds United match, and then it came back to bite us. Unfortunately, this Tuesday. All right, guys, let's now look at the stats for this match and see what they tell us. Let's look at possession. It was 60% to 40% in favor of Fulham. Total shots were actually in favor of Blackburn, 13 to 12. On target, in favor of Blackburn, 6 to 4. Corners in favor of Fulham, 7 to 6. Crosses, even at 23. Tackles, even at 17. Attempted passes, 613 to 406 in favor of Fulham. Attacking passes, 285 to 147 in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy was a good amount for Fulham at 85%, but Blackburn were at 75%. Accurate passes, 523 to 309 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels in favor of Fulham, 13 to 10. Fouls, 9 to 5 in favor of Blackburn. Giannis, I'll go to you first. What do the full-time stats tell you?
Well, the 60% possession is a lot less than we normally see from the lads. So that's telling you that Blackburn got a fair amount on the ball, and especially as an away side, that's pretty impressive. I think that's that'll tell you that they were in the game. The Slava notion of not having Parker, I think is, I can see where he's coming from, but he's one of 11. You know, he's at the twilight of his career, and it wouldn't Scott Parker wouldn't have been there to mark Zhao when that corner came in from Williams. he wouldn't have been the man with the gloves coming off his line calling keepers when the corner was coming in. So. You can have a captain official, but you've also have to have lots of leaders on the team. And there's enough leadership on the team to calm things down, even when things are getting a little bit helter-skelter. So really to say, well, we miss Scott Parker. Yeah, I sort of get that, but I don't believe that he actually believes that. I think it's a bit of a convenient excuse. The fact is that the goal we conceded was soft and it was defendable and we didn't deal with it and they scored.
Okay, my friend, I'm going to go right back to you. Let's now look at your man of the match and also rating for Slavica in this match.
Man of the match. I think I'm going to give it to – I'm actually going to give it again to Shone Oluka. I mean, I don't know what he's been eating in his Wheaties recently, but he's
been much more clinical lately.
Oh, yes. Tremendous. He's looking very, very good right now. And Slava has a bit of he's got a dilemma tomorrow because Aita is available.
That's right.
So, I don't know how you drop Oluka. So Aita, I fancy, will come in. How will that look? Not so sure. I do know Martin's not going to start. If Chris Martin starts tomorrow, I will eat the school that I teach in brick by brick. That's how confident I am of that. Slava is going to have to get a 7 for me. I thought the lineup was okay. I thought we might have made a couple more changes apart from bringing Fredericks in for Doi, but Fredericks had a good game. But the reason he's lost marks is the one substitution that killed him, and that was Martin. And to be honest about it, none of us wants a player who doesn't give a bollocks, and he looked like he didn't give a bollocks. And we're in such a critic. I don't care if Steve McLaren was his boss, his lover, his next door neighbour. I could care less. When he puts the white shirt on, you know what? You come off the bench, and we need you to do a job and do the job. And he didn't. He didn't. He really didn't look like he cared, and that's what really pissed me off. Because you got Syriac going for balls. He had no right to get to that shot, but he did. And then Martin faffing with the ball that led to the penalty. And we need, going back to the World War One here. We need men in the trenches. For what's going to come, for the last leg of the season, we need people that are going to be battle hungry and battle ready and battle worn. And the only thing that Chris Martin looks like he's going to battle is what shape he's going to be when he starts playing Monopoly. That's about it. And that won't help us. In fact, right now, I think Delia Smith would be better at holding the ball up than him. We've got a. It was annoying. It was really annoying, and it didn't look like he cared. And none of us have time for that, and especially now. So, Mr. Martin, if you're listening, which I know you're not, but if you are, go and have a pint, a St. Patrick's Day pint with Steve McLaren. Drink some green beer, and go back to Derby County next year and have fun down there or up there.
Oh boy. You are a classic, my friend. That was great. Okay, Marty, over to you. I didn't get your thoughts on the stats, so feel free to share your thoughts on the stats. And then please give your man of the match and your thoughts on Slavica, your rating for him.
Yeah, sorry, Yanis, you killed me, especially the fact that who would you rather, Chris Martin or Darren Bent. I mean, they're both basically.
I was thinking the same thing, Marty. I was going to ask him that question.
Yeah.
Oh God! If you put those two, if you made a hybrid, listen. If you made a hybrid of those two, you'd have Tinky Winky from Teletubby.
Oh boy! Oh, Giannis, you kill me! Oh, you kill me, my friend. All right, Marty, your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly what Giannis said. I mean, obviously, our possession, as I said to you before, it was a lot lower. Obviously, 60% to 40%. And right. I also noticed in the stat attack, a lot of the stuff they were quite evenly matched with us, which is
they were
relatively rare. So that's something to consider. They actually evenly matched us quite a lot of stats that I'm quite surprised about to hear that. My man of match, I kind of tossed between the two, really. Ciriak, because I felt he made an impact. And I think that's what Fulham needed. And obviously, if we didn't give away that last minute goal, he would be the local hero, basically. And the other player I thought that I thought did quite well, Aluka I thought did well, but I thought Kibano kind of played really well, did some really, really good stuff. He seems to be running in confidence, that player at the moment. But I, at the end of the day, I would probably say Ciriak is my man of the match just for the well-taken goal. Okay. As for rate the head coach, I'm going to say a 6 for Savisa. Nothing really he can really do in regards of what Chris Martin does, and obviously, you know, what's he best doing? Probably ironing shirts at the moment, because obviously that's his contribution. But for me, it just seemed like it wasn't the substitution of Chris Martin, because he was hoping, obviously, Chris Martin would do something. But it's just the fact that maybe just doing something different, as they would, you know, Blackburn were doing exactly what every other team will do to come do, which like the likes of Burton when they came to our ground frustrate us. And we really need to kind of think of a plan of how to go against that, because that really does seem to be our Achilles heel at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point, because that's why, in a way, I am encouraged by our discussion about Ciriak, Cabano, Ayite coming back, because I think they give us the pace and speed that potentially can work around these issues that we're having. Maybe, you know, again, we talk about a plan B. I was thinking that Chris Martin would be the plan A, and then what we saw in the first half would be the plan B, but he went in the reverse, and unfortunately Chris Martin really wasn't a factor in this match. And I think that hurt us in a way, that the fact that he wasn't a factor, like you guys have been talking about. All right, guys, it's now time to talk about the Wolves match. This is an intriguing matchup. Last time we played at Molineux, that was some kind of match, and it's going to be interesting between these two teams. One thing I will say, I think there are going to be goals in this match for both teams. That's what I think. But let's start here. I have some information for both you guys, and I'll go to each one of you, regarding Wolves and Fulham from WhoScore.com. And, Giannis, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to give you my stats comparison that I put together from the stats from WhoScore.com. Let's start here. Let me just pull that up. Of course, I'm never prepared here, but let's start here. Let's start with possession in the league. Fulham are still first in the league with 59% possession. Wolves are 12th at 49.7. Shots, Fulham are still first in the league at 15.8. Wolves are 13th at 12.6. Player rating, this is them rating all the players for all teams. Fulham are currently fourth in the league at 6.87 overall rating. Wolves are 12th at 6.78. Passing success, this is a category Fulham have been high up on. They are still first, again, at 83.4. Wolves are 17th at 69.8. Crosses per game, Fulham are first in the league at 23, but Wolves are tied for second at 22. Here's a stat that will show some differences here. Long balls. Fulham are last in the league, as they have been most of the season, at 64. Wolves are fifth at 84. Short passes. Fulham are first in the league, 517. Wolves are 14th at 305. So that's a big discrepancy between short passes and long balls, as you can see between the two teams. Giannis, what do these stats tell you?
Contrast of two styles, you know, Paul Lambert against Slavisa Jokanovic. I was looking at the report of the game against Brentford, and they won that late, and they're a team. I mean, we remember the 4-4 tie earlier this year. That was a little bit of a laugh, but they're not out of they're not out of the woods yet themselves. They're 4 points off the bottom three. That was a massive win they got against the Fodders. But they still need to get points. They've got a game in hand on the others below. Wolves are a direct team. They're a big, strong, physical team, but they're direct. Paul Lambert teams tend to work very, very hard. And it sounds like they play well at Griffin Park. So they're going to give us a test, but a different kind of test, I fancy, than Blackburn Rovers. I think the thing about Blackburn is I like their quality and their creativity. Whereas Wolves are going to be a lot more workmanlike and blue collar, and that might be the sort of lineup that will suit us. I think speed is going to be a real problem today. Speed will be a problem tomorrow for them. They don't have the biggest, they don't have the quickest back four you've ever seen by any means. But they've got players like Vyman, who in the centre park are creative and make good runs from deep and good passes of the ball. Dicko up front is going to cause problems.
Dangerous.
Yes, he's very, very dangerous. So, and I can't forget Edwards either.
Too.
Yeah, Costa's a decent player too. So, again, you know, it's one of the oldest cliches we've discussed all year, but again, look at this division. You know, this division is, I mean, it is so, look, Bristol City is struggling near the bottom. And Bristol City are beating Huddersfield 2-0 tonight. and the biggest laugh is there are 33 points between them in the table right now as it stands.
It's crazy.
I tell you what's even crazier, Marty, I don't know if you noticed this, but there was 15 minutes of injury time in the first half of their game tonight.
I saw that.
Yeah, there was an injury.
Really? Yeah,
15 yeah. minutes. And they scored. Bristol City scored the second goal in the 14th minute of injury time. It was a bit of a kick in the you know what. But actually, if City win tonight, now it puts Blackburn back in the bottom three, and it puts Forest and Burton on the cusp, and Wolves 1 point clear of City, although they'll have two games in hand. So this is a big game. I think there'll be more direct. Huh?
I said it's very close down there, Giannis, but you just said something that I wanted to ask you about before I go to Marty. Blackburn, probably not the better team when you look at Blackburn and Wolves, but Blackburn might have been the more difficult matchup for us. Do you think that this is a better matchup for Fulham, how we play compared to how they play?
Yeah, I do, and I actually happen to believe Mowbray is a better coach than Paul Lambert. I've never really been a Paul Lambert fan. Okay. I think his work at Norwich was okay, but Mowbray's had some very difficult teams in his time, and he's not been at Ewood Park too long. But you could see on Tuesday night that he's got, you know, the players are drinking the Kool-Aid, and that's testament. He doesn't, you know, and the substitutions he made at the right time. So in terms of coaching matchups, this should be an easier one for Slavisa. And this will be the sort of style that we've seen a lot of this year. And we should be able to cope with that. Blackburn had quality to come at us, and they exploited us at the right time. And they deserve the point. I'd be surprised if Wolves offer the same sort of challenges to us tomorrow.
That's why I wanted to ask you, my friend, because I think it's a different type of matchup. I think it's a matchup that better suits Fulham than Blackburn. That's why I was curious. Because on the face of it, you know, my first thought was, well, Wolves are the better team. They might be the better team, but this might be the better matchup. That's why I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah.
All right, Marty, over to you. I've got some information for you from WhoScored.com, just some characteristics. But let's start where both teams are on the table. Fulham are currently seventh. We have 16 victories, 13 draws, 8 losses. We've scored 65. We've given up 44, won a plus 21 goal differential, and we're on 61 points. Wolves are 18th. They have 11 victories, 9 draws, 16 losses. They've scored 43. They've given up 47. They're in a minus 4 goal differential and are on 42 points. However, I do want to mention they are coming off of 2 victories. They did beat Rotherham United last Saturday, and then, of course, they did beat Brentford. So let's keep that in mind. Strengths, according to WhoScore.com, creating chances through individual skill, coming back from losing positions, aerial duels, protecting the lead, stealing the ball from the opposition. Those are all strengths. Weaknesses, keeping possession of the ball, finishing scoring chances, avoiding individual errors, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas. Their style of play, attacking down the right, Long balls, they attempt crosses often, they do play with width, they rotate their first 11, they are aggressive, but opponents do play aggressively against them. Now, WhoScored.com is actually predicting a 2-2 draw, so just want to mention that. And their leading goal scorer is Costa, followed by Cavaliero. Costa has 6 and Cavaliero has 5, but a danger player in this game, every time we play them, scares me is Dicko. So I have to mention Dicko, and of course, Giannis also mentioned Andres Vyman. So they do have some talented players. I just want to mention that. All right, Marty, your thoughts on the information I just shared with Wolves going into this match?
Well, again, you know, it's another team that are fighting down at the bottom, which we, you know, for the last 2 seasons, we can definitely relate to, obviously, because, you know, as Giannis clearly said, this is such a hard division. When we looked at the fixtures at the beginning, you know, with the last whatever games, we were probably predicting, we'll see if we get something against Leeds, Newcastle probably would be too difficult, and Blackburn maybe the win. And in the end, it's completely gone the opposite, basically, that's isn't right. it? And, you know, and it's the same as, you know, everyone was ready to throw the towel in after the result against Blackburn. But yet, as I said, these teams that are above us have got to play the same kind of difficult 9 games as well. And that's anyone right. can beat anyone on any one day. Wolves are not going to be easy. I think that's a very, very talented team. I think, weren't they the greatest team in Italy when they had their manager Prior, I think, wasn't it, with the comment that was said? But basically, yeah, they've got a very talented team. And for us to win, so they're going to go for the long balls. We've just got to attack, press, and definitely keep the ball. But for me, while we're obviously playing against Wolves, we're going to be nervous. And obviously, because that's still going to be on our mind and the fans are going to be nervous. So this is definitely going to be one of these games that obviously we're just going to have to go straight at them and attack. Because as I said, I don't think this is going to be another walkover just like Blackburn. I think this is going to be just as difficult.
Okay, Marty, I'm going to go right back to you. I want to share something. I actually listened to this podcast, this Wolves podcast this morning, because I wanted to get a flavor for what they're talking about. And their concern in this match for them is central midfield. They're concerned that's where this match could be won or lost. So with me sharing that with you, because I think our midfield is fairly strong, especially central midfield, who are your key players tomorrow? Would you go with, say, Johansson, McDonald, or are there other players that would be important for you so Fulham can get all 3 points here?
Well, obviously, one of their against traits was fouling in sort of in their own sort of box, basically. So they're obviously not going to be very good against pace, which I believe Giannis did say.
He did.
So people,
yeah.
the likes of Cubano, Aluko, and maybe the possibility of Yite, but I reckon he'll probably start on the bench. I think running at them is really going to scare him. And of course, I do believe Richard Stearman is not able to play,
who's can't play.
On loan at them at the moment.
That's correct.
I do definitely think, again, I think we say it's so cliche, but we win games by our midfield doing well. If Kearney's playing well, the whole team plays well. The same with Johansson. And I do think the battle, because Kearney and Johansson were kind of really put under pressure, the same as the Tottenham game, when you start to hold that midfield, you know, play high-pressure game, and we start to struggle and not create and hold the ball, that's where we struggle. So it really is important that we get something created in midfield. So, in my opinion.
I totally agree. And listen, it's funny because they were complaining about a player that every time I've seen him play has played pretty well against Fulham, and that's Edwards. But, you know, they watch him each and every week, and they have this... you could say it sounded like a love-hate thing with him. You know, there'd be certain weeks where he played well and certain weeks where he didn't.
So he's no Chris Martin.
What?
I said he's no Chris Martin then.
Chris Martin, that's funny. All right. All right. Giannis, back over to you. Marty just shared key players. How do Fulham win this match?
I think it's going to be Tom Kearney. Let's get the ball off them. Let him orchestrate, you know, from the centre of the pulpit, and let's use the wings and just go at them. We know the way they're going to defend. Let's just keep the ball moving quickly. Lots of 1-2s, lots of overlaps, lots of triangles. Get some shots in. I just think we're a better side than them. They're going to present a set of issues. I think we're more than capable of dealing with. Unlike Blackburn, And I think really Kearney's going to be the, our midfield. The midfield three will be very, very important, but I think Kearney will be the key. The other key might actually show, turn out to be the actual lineup. What who is going to be in and who will not be part of it? And Slava has a couple of it's interesting dilemmas here. I'd be very surprised if Malone doesn't start. I would be surprised if Sessegnon does start, and I'd be very surprised if Aita doesn't start. So the lineup's going to be critical, and we need to get off to a quick start because we're going to have to remember that when they beat Brentford, they were a goal down with about 5 minutes to go, and they stole it late. So this is a team that won't quit, and if we go a goal up, we can't let them hang around. That's going to be the thing. Put, you know, get the early goal and then put them to sleep. They're going to be certainly resilient, but our midfield I think will be the key, and I believe Tom Kearney will be the man that can really unlock them.
Giannis, it's a great point that you talk about getting the goal and not just getting that goal. You have to, after you get the first one, you have to come at them with the second and the third, because if you remember the reverse fixture, the 4-4, they came back at us in the second half, and you just brought up the Brentford match, a very good example as well. So this team is resilient. So just if you think you have them down, you have to keep on attacking. That this match for me is attack, attack, attack. You have to go after this team and not let them breathe, because if you give them an opportunity, they do have talented players that can take advantage of your mistakes. That's what scares me about this match, is that we still have the ability to have that brain fart, that mistake that this team will take advantage of.
Yep. For sure.
All right, guys, let's now look at your starting 11, both of you. And Marty, I'll give you first crack at this. What's your starting 11 tomorrow?
Okay, if I had my starting 11, even though he has games that I sometimes think, what is he doing? And I think that game against Blackburn was one of them. Is Button, I would have in goal, but I do sometimes debacle about if I would rather Bettinelli in there, but it's one of them. My back four would be Odoi, Kolas, Ream and Malone. And with midfield, obviously, I would have McDonald, Johansson and Sessegnon. I would rather use him with the width. I think to add that kind of attacking in that very slow defence would probably be a good idea. And obviously, the other three players would be Cabano and Kearney, just behind the striker. And I'm not going to say Chris Martin up front. I'm going to say Syriac. Give him his first full 90 minutes and see what this guy can really do.
Okay. Okay, interesting. Giannis, how about you for starting 11?
Okay. Button to start, although I blame him for the second goal, because he when the cross came in from Williams, he stood there like a one-legged duck. That's one where he's got to come. And Ream, and to be fair, it was poor defending, because Ream's not even goal side of Zhao. But Button has stood there. It's like cement feet. Back four, same back four that started against Blackburn. So Fredericks on the right, Malone left. Kolas and Ream. I'm still not totally a Ream fan, I'll be honest. But I've said that to you before, Russ. The mid three, pick itself, Kearney, McDonald and Johansson. And then up front, I would put a Luka on the left and Cabano on the right and Aita up front. Sessegnon on the bench, and Chris Martin can stay at home with Gwyneth Paltrow and consciously uncouple, because that's about as much good as he's going to do. And maybe we can get the other Chris Martin, because at least he can sing on the field and maybe entertain the troops. I don't know what his first touch is like, but it's got to be better than what we saw on Tuesday night. And then the bench, the bench is, you know, it's a much of a muchness. Although I'm going to have a moan again with Woodrow and Vigga Christensen playing well for Burton.
They're both playing very well, actually.
Yeah, they're both playing very well. Surprise, surprise. But, that's my the one change I would make would be Sessegnon to come out of the lineup and put Ait in the middle and flip Shania Luke out wide.
Okay, interesting.
I would just like to add, I would really, I've I've kind of seen it at the moment, but I would like to see maybe George Williams maybe bench, because he seems to be doing quite well at the moment. I think he scored the penalty. I mean, blimey, when was the last time we saw someone score one of those? Just to get him on the bench. I think he would add a little bit of something if you maybe threw him on for the last 10 minutes or something. It would just be nice to see what he's got coming back from the injury that he had.
Listen, I'm not against George Williams, but he did play today, so I don't think that that's going to happen. But I hear what you're saying. I think he should be on the bench at some point there, Marty. Very good
Yeah,
point.
agreed.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely. All right, it's time for predictions. Let's start with my poll on the Cottage Talk Twitter page. I had a good amount of votes, guys. 249. Win, 74%. Draw, 16%. And loss at 10%. Now I'm going to go to the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I have a good amount of predictions here. Let's start with Combe Bugler. He actually has 4-1 to Wolves, but he says this is reverse psychology, hopefully. Then Ben Reed says 4-0 to Fulham. Joe Tivey says a nervous 2-1. Let's see. Eric Whittle agree with John, 2-1 to Fulham. Richard Bamber says 3-0, 70% possession. Gary Cooper actually had two predictions. He started with 2-1, but then he changed it because actually scrap that. Wolves are a bogey side for us, 1-1. So he's going with 1-1. Then we have Ryan Guy, 3-2 to Fulham. Alex White, 3-0 to Fulham. Scott Tanfield, 2-1 to Wolves. Ryan Fulick, 3-1 to Fulham. James E, 2-2. Chris Waugh, 2-1 to Fulham. John Mason, 2-1 to Fulham. Mario Gault, 2-0 to Fulham. And Steve Lydiard, one of our co-hosts as well, along with Scott Tanfield, he has 2-2. All right, it's time for your predictions. Giannis, I'll start with you. Give me your prediction.
It'll be 2-0 to Fulham. I don't have the same trepidation about this game as I did against Blackburn. I just think we're a much better matchup for Wolves. By the time that Wolves head on back to that awful city of Wolverhampton, the Wolves will have two legs rather than four. You take them out for a drag. I don't really foresee any problems. Apart from that, I just hope that Martin is not part of the 18, but we shall see.
Okay, Giannis, over to you now. Marty, your prediction.
To be fair, I was going to go the easy way out like David would and have gone for a 2-2 draw. But I do think we will win 2-1. But I
Okay.
think it's going to be one of those games that we'll go either 1-0 down and win 2-1, or we'll score two goals and they'll score one and we'll get nervous. I think it's just going to be one of those cagey matches, but we will go in the international break into the playoffs. But as we already know and Yanis knows, Fulham don't do anything easy. It's such a Fulhamish cliche. So they're going to make hard work of it. But yeah, 2-1 is my prediction.
Okay, and I understand both your predictions. I am feeling a little bit better about this match. I'm kind of on the same wavelength with you, Giannis. I was feeling about this before the match. I thought I was going to be bold. I'm not going to be as bold as I originally was going to be. I was going to say 4-1. I'm not going to be that bold. I'm going to say
Ooh.
3-1. I do feel good about this matchup because I know that we can score on this team, and I think that Savisa will learn from the first matchup and know how to prevent some of the mistakes or try to prevent some of the mistakes we had the first time we played them, try to tighten things up. That's why I feel good about this matchup. And like you said, Giannis, I like the coaching matchup here. I think we have the advantage here, and that's why I'm going for 3-1. I think he'll set us up well and we'll be better prepared for what Wolves can offer than the first time around. Again, I don't think that was a Savisa issue. I think that was a player issue, but I think he's going to be prepared and know exactly what to expect, and the players will be prepared to handle it. So that's why I'm going 3-1 to Fulham. All right. Great
That
show,
first
guys.
spot in
Great
hand.
show. Fantastic show. Marty, a great debut, my friend. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. Thank you very much. Just apologize it took so long to get on. I had no idea what was going on there, but
That's okay.
great to
That's
talk to you
okay.
again.
Not a problem. Before we go, I'd like to get final thoughts from my co-host. So to you, Marty, your final thoughts before we go.
Just simple, really. It just everyone's ready to throw the towel in. With our manager, he's always saying, "I'm not looking to the game, the past game. I always look to the next game." It's 9 games. I think it's something like 27 points. Fulham are going to run this as long as possible and draw it out as long as possible. So, you know, let's just keep supporting them. And, you know, the transition we've gone through in 12 months is amazing. And what a great job he's done. May it continue.
Very good final take there, my friend. Final thoughts from you. All right. Over to you, Giannis. Your final thoughts before we go.
Well, I was, like most fans, disappointed after, you know, the way that the game ended on Tuesday night. But I did think that Blackburn were going to give us a little bit of a run for our money, and they did.
You're right. You're right, my friend.
Well, they did deserve it, Russ. And I just don't see Wolves as the same quality. And I think that it's one of those. This is going to be a good test of resilience. You know, we know how we felt after the Leeds and that dramatic comeback, and now we know how when the shoe's on the other foot. And then I'm expecting us to bounce back and. Send the Wolves packing.
Oh boy! Oh, Giannis. Guys, fantastic show! Great show.
You guys
were great. Okay, it is time to wrap this up. For Giannis and Marty, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.